That was sweet. I like that. Good reminder. And so we've just finished a three-week series that Robbie led us through on the prayers of Paul. So I'm really grateful for Robbie being willing to do that in the middle of a busy summer in his life and doing that for us and helping us engage and think and become deeper prayers. And Nancy, thanks for putting a good bow on that for us. If you've been with us for a while, we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew as a church for the last almost 2 years. And in the summers, we take a little pause, and we usually do a different type of sermon series like we did last week with the last few weeks with Robbie's series. And then we've been doing this other series the rest of the summer called What Do You Mean By That? Like understanding some of the words we use in church ministry sometimes that we throw around every now and then. And this morning, we're going to resume that, and we'll do this for the next few weeks, talking about the word calling. Which is a big, important word. We use this word all the time in general, but it's a big church word also. Like, let me ask you this, though. How many of you like being called on the phone? How many of you are like, the phone rings, you're like, yes. There's a couple of people that like that still, okay.
If it's somebody I know, yeah.
If it's someone you know, if it's the number you don't know, right, it's maybe a robot. One of my least favorite things here is the phone ringing next to me when I'm in my office, because we don't have caller ID, so I don't really know. And most of the time, it's a robot, you know, or it's someone trying to sell us something or something like that. Every now and then, it's one of you, and I'm like, oh, yay, hi, you know. But I get scared of the phone. And, like, do you remember when phones looked like this? When the only thing you could do with this phone is make a phone call, right? Like, you could talk to somebody. But now, I mean, especially those of you that are maybe under 35 or so, your phone rings, you're like, what is this device doing? How many would rather text somebody than phone call or email or something like that? Or maybe FaceTime, there's all these different things. Well, calling has changed a little bit. Right now, I think most people are like, dude, don't call me. It's something weird if you call me. It just feels weird. I remember when Katie and I were dating, this was before cell phones, back in 1999. Well, they existed. They looked like this, I think. But on Thursdays and Sundays, we were living 1,000 miles apart. And nothing was better than that 8:30 at night when the phone would ring, because I knew Katie was on the other side. And it was worth that, like, 15 cents a minute for a long-distance phone call back at that time. But couldn't wait to answer the phone and pick up to be able to talk to her because she was calling. I think she called me Thursdays and I called her on Sundays. That's how we split that up. The word calling, it's used in a lot of different ways. You can call someone on the phone. You can call for a pizza. You can call out someone's name. You can call out, like, cheering for someone at a sporting event. You can use calling to call your name, like, I am called Mark. And, like, in Spanish language, when they say their name, they say, me llamo, but, like, my name is. I'm called. I'm called this. We can also say things like, I'm called to be a pastor, or I'm called to live in this area. Or sometimes in church ministry, a lot of times we hear people say things like, I feel called to. If you've been around Christians for a while, that's part of our vernacular in our particular brand of Christianity. And we see this in the scriptures. This word comes up over and over again. And I want us to jump off this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And I want us to think just a little bit about what does the Bible mean when it talks about us being called people? Because it shows up hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the scriptures. And basically what we're talking about with this type of calling, there is a general type of calling, like I'm called Mark, you're called Sherry, right? We're called Bear Creek Community Church. But there's also a deeper meaning that the New Testament especially uses to talk about people that have responded to the activity and movement and work of God. And that's what I want us to think about, to live a life worthy of the calling we have received, to live worthy of how God has moved in and around us. We often talk about calling with jobs or activities or passions. I feel called to do this. I feel called to go do that. Oftentimes in churches and amongst Christians, we talk about calling specifically, like with someone who's called to be a missionary, or to some sort of vocational ministry, like be a pastor. And we have a specific way of thinking about that. And that shows up sometimes in the scriptures. But most of the time, it's talking about really all of us. and a calling God has put in our life of His activity. Now let's look at the words in the Bible. In the Old Testament, calling is used hundreds of times. It's the word kara. It's a verb to call out, and that's the in Hebrew. There's every word has three letters. It's triconsonantal root, and then there's expanded based off of the conjugation. But throughout the Old Testament, the word kara means things like to call out a name. The Lord called out to Moses, you know, that kind of things, or you will call this person that. That's how it's used throughout the Old Testament. And the New Testament, there's two different words used for the verb call out. One of those is phoneo. What word comes from that, you think? Look at this. Hey, isn't that fun? Phoneo, that means to call or I call. The most common verb is a word called kaleo, and it sounds like call, doesn't it? That's very helpful. And that's another verb, to call or I call. Kaleo means I call. And then there's another noun called kletos, like that verse we just read in Ephesians 4. The word kletos is used there, which comes out of the word kaleo. It's the noun of the word calling. And so we see this throughout the scripture. These are the words that are used. And this concept of calling, going beyond just an activity of saying a name or calling out, to become part of our identity is something that developed in the New Testament pretty clearly. And so when the Bible talks about being called, it's more than your name, it's more than your title, it's more than a sound. It is something that's core to your being about responding to God moving. And calling, most often in the New Testament, is synonymous with salvation. Being saved. Those who are called are those who belong to Jesus. So if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've placed your trust, your life in God's hands, if you trust Him, you are a called one. You're called. You're one of those people. It's a general term. In fact, anyone know what the Greek word for church is? Ecclesia. Yeah, ecclesia. Any Spanish speakers in the room? What's church in Spanish? Iglesia. See, they did it right. They transliterated the Greek word ecclesia to iglesia. We have the word church, which actually came out of the German word Kirche, which is more related to a building or a structure. And when the Bible was translated into English, the Spanish-speaking Latin side chose iglesia. They went transliterated. We took like the German usage of a building. And remember this one. Remember when you're a kid? We've done this before. Here is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Remember that? That's not right though. What is it? This is a building that might have a steeple, but be not mistaken. The church is the people, right? Okay. Here's why we're talking about these words. The word church in the Bible, ecclesia, it means assembly. That's usually how it's translated. We are an assembly of people. But if you break out the words, the word ek means out, and then klesia, what does that sound like? Called, called ones. So when you say the church, or the ecclesia, or the iglesia, what we're actually literally saying is the called out ones. So you are, if you're a member of the church, not just Bear Creek Community Church, but the global church, you are a called out one. You're called out. Called out to be different. Called out to respond to the Lord, called to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And throughout the scriptures, there are a few times when like somebody was specifically called for a specific task. Somebody was given a specific job, like the prophets were called to preach and to proclaim God's word. Paul describes himself as called to preach or called to be an apostle. Aaron, Moses, like we said, the prophets, Noah was called a specific calling. And so we have moments in the scriptures where an individual was given a specific calling to do something or to be someone, to go somewhere. And if you are a lifelong follower of Jesus, there's probably moments in your life where you know God is calling you to do something. He's calling you to respond to someone, to stop somewhere, to love someone, to step out and do something in some way. But throughout the scriptures, I want us to think more about this general calling that God has on our lives and what that looks like. We are the called out ones. And I have a friend named Dave Evenger who planted a church in Seattle in Green Lake called Sedaris Church. And he was planted out of Crossroads Bible, which planted us back in 1985. So it's our sister church. And he developed a helpful tool thinking about calling that I want to share with you this morning, because we are the called out ones. We are called. And there are three Christian callings that Dave looked at the scriptures that I think is really helpful. And so I want us to think about this. I'm going to present this to you that he shared with me, and I took it from him. But there's three Christian callings. The general calling, just to know God, that's an eternal calling. God created people to know him, to be his children. Eternally, we are his people. There's a common calling for those who respond to Jesus. It's a lifetime following, a lifetime calling to know and follow Jesus. And then there's a unique calling for you to go. There's a certain way that God has made you and created you in his image for good works. And that is the unique calling that you have. So all of us have these three callings, and each one below it flows out of the one above it. So our common calling to Jesus comes out of our calling to know God, but because we're sinners and broken, we need Jesus to make a way for us. And then our unique calling comes out of our calling to Jesus himself. So here's what this means, like general calling. This general calling is on all human beings, because God made human beings in his image for a relationship with him. And this is a call to adoption, to become a child of God. This is about our identity. Ultimately, this is about being like God. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That we are called to be like God. There's something within us that's called to respond to who God is and be like him. And so this general calling is us saying, hey, I am a child of God. This is who I am. And John, Jesus' good friend, said this in his letter, 1 John, he says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And so human beings set apart are called to a special relationship with God as his children, as part of his kingdom. Of course, we know the whole story if we read the Bible. We broke that. None of us are worthy to be called children of God. We can't do that. So there's Jesus responding to this, or God responding to this by coming to us in Jesus. And this is the common calling. People that are called to Jesus have this common calling. We're called to not just be children of God, but to be part of a new family that belongs to Jesus. So it's not just about being like God, it is being like Jesus. And so remember, Jesus called us as his people to make disciples of all nations, to become apprentices of Jesus. And so this calling that we have in our lives is because of Jesus, because he came, because he died, because he showed us everything. He calls us to become like Jesus. Right after Paul says called to be an apostle in Romans 1, he says, and you are among those called to belong to Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you have this common calling. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he said, come, follow me. That's the common calling from all of us. And within that, there's a common calling for all of us to become like Jesus, to apprentice under him, to call him our Lord, to let him call all the shots in our lives. So this means that we are called to worship him and worship God. We're called to be holy, to resist sin and turn from sin and repent. We're called to serve. We're called to stewardship. We're called to generosity. We're called to hospitality, proclamation of the gospel. We're called to community. If you are a Christian, you're called to all of these, right? You can be like, well, you know what? You're called to be generous, but I'm called, you know, to service. Like, it might be that we have different callings there, but all of us are called to be generous. All of us are called to stewardship. All of us are called to holiness. All of us are called to resist sin and to follow Jesus. So that's the common calling. And then out of the common calling, we have a unique calling. And this comes down to who you are before God. And this is the call, is to go and to be a part of things. This is an assignment that God has. And the identity statement here is that I'm a child of God, I'm an apprentice of Jesus, and I'm a contributing and thriving son and daughter with a particular disposition and gifts. That looking at this room, there are many, many stories and experiences and things that have shaped who you are. And that, coming out of your calling to belong to God and to belong to Jesus, is your calling to be uniquely you. So here, the statement is for me to be like Mark, a sanctified version of Mark. The calling is to be like Eilish, right? We're called to be who God created us to be. And so then we look at our lives, and we have different spiritual gifts, different professions, different family history, different geography. Tragedies shape us. If you go through trauma in your life, that has shaped you. Our biology, education, psychology, sexuality, gender, marital status, social status, you know, maybe if you're into the Enneagram and things like that, there are different things about you that you would describe that make you uniquely you. But this unique calling flows out of the calling to be like Jesus. So everything that is unique about us comes through the filter of how do we be like Jesus with these things? How do we live out this unique calling given our experience, given how God made us? And some of these are lifetime things. And some of these are seasonal. Where you live, your family. You know, when you have little kids, you know, God's calling on your life is going to be different than when you're an empty nester or wherever you're at. If you're a high school student or you're in your 40s, I mean, it's so different. The Apostle Paul talks about this in a couple passages, talking about who we are and our gifts. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, he says, "We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues." God is at work in people in different ways. And what we see in the scriptures is God's people don't get called to uniformity, but unity with diversity. And so the way that you have been crafted and the way that God has shaped you, even through things that are bad, God desires that you honor and live out your calling to Jesus in those ways. And like I said, some of these are lifetime and some of these are seasonal. But who you are, where you've come from, because of your calling to God and your calling to Jesus, all of these things are different because of that. All of them come out of Jesus, and he's the boss of them. See, what we sometimes do, I think, is oftentimes when we think about who we are in life, and I think certainly our world does this, we invert these callings, right? Instead of starting with a call to God, to Jesus, and to be uniquely ourselves, we start with who we are as ourselves. And we take all the unique things about us, our likes, our dislikes, our personalities, our you know, how we describe ourselves, and then we define ourselves out of that. What I think God wants us to do instead is to see ourselves under this umbrella of general calling to God, a common calling to Christ, and the unique calling to live out as different people, called out ones, with whatever story, whatever experiences, what that looks like to turn from sin, to be obedient, to put Christ as the Lord of all of these things. And so my calling to Jesus comes out of being a calling of God. And my calling to be Mark comes out of my calling to be like Jesus. And that's the same exact thing for you. So we often invert this in our culture. Instead, we need to start with the calling of God and to Jesus, and then to be ourselves. And there's uniqueness to you and how God has called you in your life. You're called to be a new human. You are one of the called out ones because of Jesus. God's Spirit is in you to guide you and direct you in what that looks like. You are part of the ecclesia. And in the scriptures, we don't really ever see somebody saying, you know, "I feel called to this," or "I'm feeling called to that." I'm not sure that's a terrible way for us to talk about how God calls in our lives, because sometimes he moves and works in different ways. But generally, all of us are called to ministry. And all of us are called to Christ's mission. All of us are called to serve. And so taking our uniqueness and holding that with an open hand and saying, "God, how do I obey you with this life that you've placed in my hands?" And so sometimes we find those specific callings, like maybe you've been in a place where you're not sure if you should take a different job, if you should move, sell your house, get a dog, you know, whatever those things may be. And it may be that God puts a clear marker on you, like, "Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to go this way." And I'm not sure, there's lots of different ways I think God speaks to us. But I think what we do is we live as a community. We pray, we fast, we seek the Lord, we engage with each other, and God directs our steps. But the calling on your life is obedience to God within your general, common, and unique callings. What does it look like for you to surrender every one of those areas of your life to Jesus? To see yourself as a called out one. Well, what we see in the scriptures is that when we think about calling, how we respond to calling is at least as much about how you do something as what you do. I think God cares more about how you live your life as whatever your occupation is or your life stage as necessarily what you do. I mean, if you're like selling drugs, let me tell you, you should turn from that. Stop doing that. Like, there's certain things we shouldn't do. Like, we need to turn from sin if it's present in our lives. But the way we do those things is how we live out our calling. Paul says this in Colossians 3 and 17 and 23. He says this, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for people. This is our calling, to take who we are in response to God's activity, his calling of us, Jesus and what he has done to make it so that we could be restored to God, and then to live different lives where following Jesus doesn't become just one of the boxes we check on a profile, but it becomes the filter for everything. Everything about who you are is seen through the filter of, okay, I'm a follower of Jesus, called to apprentice with him, called to continue his ministry and his life. And when you go through your job, when you go through decision-making, remembering that we are called out ones, called by God to be like Jesus and to be a version, a sanctified version of ourselves. And so that's what I want you to go with today, is recognizing God has a calling on your life. Do you realize you are called? The phone is ringing. I wonder what this one sounds like. I don't know. There's no way you could charge it. But the phone is ringing. Like, God has put a call on your life. Not just to show up to church, not just specific moments, but to be a different kind of person, to be a new kind of human, empowered to follow Jesus and depend on the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we're not just a community of people with some common beliefs. We are the called out ones, called to continue the ministry and work of God around us. And he's going to move. We just sang a song, right? Even when I don't see it, you're working. And we're going to sing a song called New Wine right now to close out. But we're called to be a different type of person because of God's calling in our lives. So my encouragement this morning for myself and for you is to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. You are called because God loves you. And he invites you not just to go to heaven when you die, but to become a new type of person. And we get to do that together as the called out assembly. What a privilege. What a privilege. That's beautiful, and I get really excited about that. Let me pray, and Darlene and Sherry will come up. We'll close our service, and then we'll finish up. Let's pray together. God, it's just amazing grace, Lord, that you would call us to know you. I have no business being called a child of God. I have no business standing before you expecting you to hear our prayers, Lord. But because of you and your grace and your mercy, because you have made a way, because you paid the ultimate price, you went to the cross, you conquered death, you rose from the dead. Because of that, we can come before you with humble confidence. And Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and wisdom and strength to be obedient to you, Lord, to recognize the areas of our lives that we're holding on to tightly, to surrender those to you, to repent to you, to hold these things to you, and then to become different people, Lord, called to new way of life. Whether that's specific or general, Lord, we just ask that you would guide us and direct us. And that may we, as we go about our lives, as we go about our days, as we go to work, as we drive on the freeway, as we walk our neighborhoods, as we lay our heads down at night, may we live in such a way that it's obvious that we've responded to your great calling, Lord. May we be a different type of people because of you. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to live freely and fully in you. Thank you, God, for loving us, not giving up on us. Thank you for being faithful and merciful. In Jesus' name, amen.